Mane.
Ay, ay, ay.
Craig. Gucci Mane.
Craig is back. You know what that means.
Oh, yeah. I do know what that means.
We back, baby. We back.
We back in it.
What? Dude, Groovy Bot really let me down.
Damn. Fuck. That sucks.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
I gotta search for this shit. Alright. Come on, Groovy Bot. We need some intro music. Let's get it.
Let's hear something real good. Oh.
Gotta throw it back.
Wow, that's a T. That's a TV. The last word she said to me.
Now I'm wishing she was still here with me. Let's see.
And the day's here. Oh, yeah. You may gotta shed tears. Right?
You never miss a good thing to the DJ. All right.
Very nice.
We got the vibe set.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do it. This is episode 7 of Breakpoint, a tennis podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Dange Dangerson.
Oh, yeah.
With me is...
Give me something good.
Just Jonathan the Third.
That works. I'll be the third today.
All right, so this is episode 7. We're going to talk about the... interesting, to say the least, men's U.S. Open final that we're a little behind on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to talk about Rome. It's Thursday on the west coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. So we've got some catching up to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You wanna start us off with the... the U.S. Open final, I think the last time we talked, it was the U.S. Open. We talked about Naomi Osaka winning the women's final.
Right.
And then you came over the next day, and we watched that, I don't know how long that final was, 4 hours?
Yeah, it was a little bit over 4 hours.
Yeah, we watched it together all the way through.
Yeah.
And if you could sum that thing up in one word, what would that word be?
It was... one word, huh? I think I'd say...
one word. I have my word.
Man, I will... I'm not going to go as harsh, I think, as you will, but I'm going to go... I'm just going to go unexpected.
I'm going to go with excruciating.
I was going to go harsher than unexpected, but that... I was going to even say sloppy, honestly.
That would be a good one too.
Yeah, that's it was, but you know, there are some unexpected parts of it. I think the only not unexpected part was maybe the ending. But
you want to walk us through the match?
Yeah.
Me to walk it through.
I guess I could just say one thing is
I'll add little flavors into it.
Yeah. I think the only big thing to mention is that I don't think most people expected this to go to 5 sets.
Almost no one.
Yeah, I will say that I think we were definitely in the majority thinking that this was probably going to be a 3, maybe 4-setter for team.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely started off almost the opposite of what people expected a little bit. Zverev has been coming off to really slow starts at the US Open, but he... really came out firing. I mean, I don't know what
he looked goaty. He looked amazing
at the very least.
And by contrast, team on the other side of the net looked atrocious. It was like the exact opposite of what you would have expected to happen to begin the match.
Right.
Zverev comes out firing like huge aces, big second serves. He's not going for a second serve on the second serve. He's hitting a first serve. And he's doing it consistently. Right. I think he took the first set in, what, like 30 minutes?
Yeah, he took the second set in another 30. I think it was about an hour, maybe an hour 15.
Yeah, hour and one, I think.
Yeah.
Or an hour and something, I don't remember. But yeah, it was fast. We were thinking we were going to be playing a lot of tennis on
Sunday. That's right, after the match, of course.
Yeah, We had plans after our 3-set team win to go play.
Right.
Okay. So Zubair comes out firing. What happens next?
Well, he, I wouldn't even say team roared back in the third set. He slowly and by a hair of margin crawled himself back into the match, really.
That's what I was going to use. I was going to say crawl, because that was definitely like he had a one chance, because Zverev was serving for it, right?
He was down a break.
Yeah, he was serving for it. He was 5-4 up, and I mean, it was break or lose, and Zverev, I think he double faulted it like 2 or 3 times that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it was like the nerves at that point or
I think it was the nerves. That was a nervy match.
Yeah, because throughout the match, I mean, I don't want to say that, especially towards the end, his serve was so hot and cold. You know, he was still serving pretty big even toward the end, but like he was throwing in the really slow serves, which I really wasn't sure if it was part of mixing it up and taking advantage of the fact that team really couldn't punish him from so far behind the baseline, or I'm not really sure what the logic was behind Zverev really, you know, I mean, the infamous 68-mile-per-hour serve at the very end there. I'm not really sure if that's just him losing his legs or part of the plan. I don't know.
You mean on match point, like when team at the end of the fifth set there?
Yeah. That's way towards the end. But like,
I think he was cramping too. He said he was cramping too.
That's true. He did say that. But Zverev was just kind of, I don't know. He could have just, I feel like he almost decided not to continue serving big and kind of flat, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, after he got broken in that third set, first of all, you saw the yips come when he double faulted. I'm pretty sure it was twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he just threw in like the most nervous game you could think of. Like, it was a quick game.
Yeah.
And team gets the break back. And he takes the third set in just what is like the most painful tennis I've ever watched. I mean, it was like one ball shot and then error on both sides. Like, they were just so crippled by the nerves that, you know, because they both knew this was their chance to, you know, to get a slam without one of the big three, like having to go through one of the big three. And oh my god, you could just see the pressure in every ball. It was the worst men's final I've ever seen in terms of the quality of the tennis. But when the fifth set came around, because we saw the team take the third and we were like, okay, he might, you know, get his grip back in this match and he's going to pull it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth set was like just as painful as the fifth. I don't think I've seen team hit so many backhand slices ever. I mean, he just refused to hit the topspin backhand the whole match until like the fifth set or the end of the fourth set. I remember at some critical point in the match, he hit like two like running forehands.
Yeah, at the end of this is actually the fifth set, but he was down a brick. He was down.
Four or five.
Mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah, and so I mean, I will say that was one of those forehands was the most gutsy of all. The one at, I believe it was 30 all.
He just blasted it right down the line, right? Just huge.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that if he misses it, he's facing match point, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I will say, team got lucky, one, that I think Zverev was just as, if not worse, like nervous, like the nervous hit him as bad, you know? Because both of them, you could tell, I think just with the idea of being able to win a slam, you know, is like, I mean, there's so much pressure even when you're like a professional, you know? Like, I don't blame him so much, because like, really, like, when's the last time we saw anyone besides the big three really in a final and it wasn't overwhelmingly favored for the big three?
Yeah. Every time the big three go against someone that's not the big three in a final, it's like, you know, the big three are going to win. You're just wondering how many sets or if they can even get a set.
Exactly.
You know, the other guy's going to take.
So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you just have to accept the fact that, I mean, it will be like this for a while when the big three don't make it, you know, because whoever makes it to the finals isn't going to be so used to it, right? I mean, this might be a sign a little bit for what's to come, maybe when the big three stop making it to the finals.
Yeah. But,
you know, I think all in all, I think the better player won at the end of the day. I mean, I think everyone expected the team to make it, although he barely made it. But, I mean, he held his composure. Yeah, I agree that team just didn't play it.
We didn't
play
even
it
talk
as, I
about
mean,
the end where they were both cramping in the tiebreak to finish the match. Like, team couldn't even move. What the fuck was Zverev doing, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
he just kept slicing it back to team, like right to his feet. Like he knows team can't move, and I think he thought like he was just gonna outlast him in the rallies.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just hitting it right to him. Like, it was the stupidest. I mean, he was probably nervous as hell because there was no brain power going on in there at all.
Yeah.
Like, drop him, hit a big forehand, just do something to make him move. The guy is, like, literally can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
It was, okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted, but, like, oh, God, I just thought about that again.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not much more to say about the match besides the fact that, yeah, I think it wasn't the highest quality tennis.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Team, I mean, I did like his use of the backhand slice against Medvedev, but that is pretty, I would say, one of the weaker parts of his game. His slice is nothing to really talk about. More of a stalling tool than anything.
Yeah, I like his slice, though, but you're right. It's not any kind of weapon. It's purely a defensive, I'm going to stay in the point with this shot kind of shot. There's not, yeah. You can't do anything with it other than defend.
Yeah, and you know, that's not really his game. You know, you're right. I think as far as when you're playing at this high of a level, if that you're not using your that shot to win points, it's almost not even a strength at that point, even if it is a good backhand slice. You know, it's like not a first, it's not a first or second option, right? So,
but I mean, you know what it did do today was, or not today, whatever, 4 days ago, dang, we're behind, but it hid his weakness.
Oh, that he couldn't load up on backhand?
He couldn't hit a topspin backhand the whole match.
And that's true.
I mean, it was effective in the sense that he got by without being able to hit a backhand, essentially. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I mean, I think it ended up working out, you know? I mean, I as much as I love team, and I don't like to nitpick and criticize, but man, that was really sloppy, and I don't know. I'm glad he made it through. I'm glad we see a new Grand Slam champion. I think that's huge as far as the history of tennis.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we'll see. I mean,
and it's a guy who deserved it.
Yeah, he's paid, like everyone knows,
he's paid his dues.
Yeah, he's paid his dues. He's been to already three previous finals, and for the one time he didn't have to face arguably the greatest player at that tournament. You know, I think at the end of the day, the record.
Oh, true. It was two times at the French against Rafa, and then this year at the Australian. These are like their favorite courts. That is pretty unfair.
Yeah, so I'm glad that at the end of the day, the record books will show that he was able to pull through, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, no one will remember how shitty of a match that ended up being for him, you know? But
do you think he's going to win another slam?
I do think he's going to win another slam. I'm hoping it could be even this next tournament, really, this next slam. I mean, he's going to his favorite surface at clay next. He's not playing at Rome this week,
but
I mean, he's notorious for loving clay, you know? And so I guess we'll see.
I mean, he's been to the last two finals at
Roland Garros. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2018, 2019.
Yeah, I think him being so nervous in this match will actually help him in the future, because he's got it under the bag. He's also shown to himself that he can win arguably the biggest match of his life. Actually, not even arguable. Definitely.
It is. Yeah.
And he won it like nervous and cramping. Like, I think it only gives him confidence from here.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think... expect a big French Open run. Unless he's no real, I mean, he hasn't really had match play in clay. That's the thing. It's such a quick turnaround. You really never know. He could go out early just because of no prep.
Probably not. I mean,
it's clay. What am I saying?
I mean, I don't know. I think there's always a little wariness. It is a good sign that obviously he clearly loves clay and has better results on clay than like any other surface. He's gotten much better at hard court though, as you could as shown by his US Open title now and Indian Wells. And even Vienna, I think he has a hard court. He won last year.
Yeah, last year.
So, I mean, we'll see. I think missing out on the practice of Rome may end up hurting him in a sense, because although the break is nice, it's always really nice to get that competitive practice on clay right before Roland Garros. But I guess we'll see. I mean, it's not like he got much of a warm-up at Cincinnati anyways before the US Open. Considering
you mean that 1 hour on court wasn't enough?
Yeah, something tells me he didn't learn too much in that match, I want to say.
I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
What round do you expect the team to be? How deep do you expect them to go at the French? And then my next question is, what about Zverev?
Without seeing the draw, I expect the team to make it to the finals. To be honest, I really do. I think on clay, it could be biased, but I think even if how scary he is at the U.S. Open, obviously second seed and everything, at the clay, I think he's incredibly dangerous. I would even say more dangerous than Djokovic on clay. And only second to Nadal at this point, because he's even be able to beat Nadal. I think he beat him at Madrid last year.
He beats him one time every year.
Yeah.
It's just never at the French Open.
Right. And of course it's different at the French Open. Obviously the three sets, the two, but man, it's just fits his play style completely. Just grind out his opponent with ground strokes. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's just so hard to beat him on clay, assuming he's not gassed at all, of course, from his long run.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think no less than the finals. Yeah, no less than the finals, I would think.
I got him in the semi. I think Novak is going to make the final this year. He got,
so?
I mean, you remember last year, the semifinals day was that super, it looked like a hurricane out there. It was so windy, and Novak hates conditions like that.
Right.
I'm not saying team didn't deserve it, but I think if it wasn't windy, Novak would have been in the final.
That is true. For a second there, I forgot that Novak wasn't even in contention for the US Open title because of what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's technically undefeated. Like, actually, I'm not even going to say that he's lost a match this year.
That's right.
Because he truly has not lost a match. I mean, he got disqualified and they're going to call it as a loss, but I'm not.
You're right. Yeah, that is kind of an asterisk in a sense to team's title run.
I guess it's not really an asterisk for his title run. It would be more for like if Rafa or Roger were there.
Yeah.
But that's an asterisk on 2020 for sure for Novak. Like,
right.
He should definitely be whatever 24-0, I think, this season. He could have definitely beat both Zverev and team in that final, like easily, like 6-0, 6-1, 6-2.
Yeah.
If they're playing like that bad.
You're right. I mean, you know, it happens though, I guess. But Djokovic is going to come out. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's not forget also Zverev too.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I was just going to mention, you know, Djokovic, at least what I've seen from him at Rome so far has been really good. But as far as Zverev, I don't know, man. Zverev does, I mean, he did win Madrid, right?
Clay quarter.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was last year or the year. I think it was 2018.
Yeah.
Have a good year.
I will say I do underestimate Zverev a lot. Man, I think, I'm not gonna lie, I think how far Zverev makes it up, or makes it, how far he makes it at Roland Garros is dependent a lot on the draw.
I think it depends on his second serve.
Doesn't it always, though?
I have never seen someone be so capable without a second serve.
Mm. Yeah, it is a little strange. I think a serve is one of those things that, I mean, as a pro, you expect for them to be able to do,
easily. Yeah, you never see them double fault. Like, it's like, you know, you expect like three double faults max for 90% of the players.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I agree with your point about the draw for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I then again, this is probably the case for most players. I mean, as good as a lot of the players are, really, who's really only guaranteed to make it to finals is Nadal, Djokovic. And I'm throwing Team in there just because I like him a lot and he's really good on clay. But besides those three, I don't think you can really guarantee anyone to make it past the semis almost, I think. Or sorry, yeah. That's maybe too much. The quarters. Because you can guarantee those guys will make it past the quarters, I think.
Yeah, I think. Oh, I don't know about Zverev. I really don't know about if he's going to make it. Man, I don't know what to think about him. I wish we kind of got to see what he looked like in Rome this week. Because, man, I really feel like it was like really tough to watch him give that speech at the end of the match, too.
Yeah, that was tough.
Like, you could just see he had it on his racket twice, and he just threw it away.
Yeah, that was tough.
Sad.
I agreed.
Very sad.
I mean, I feel for him for sure, and I hope and I think he will win one slam in his career. So, you know, I'm sure he'll fight harder.
Like a mental coach, like Andy Murray did or Kevin Anderson did, because that does help.
Yeah. I agree.
And you can see it too. Like he definitely he gets the yips like 100%. It's not even debatable. Mm-hmm. He always gets the yips.
Yeah.
That's pure mental. That's something. The good news is that it's not that his tennis isn't good enough, it's that he's just not mentally there yet. But that's something that you can fix.
Right.
Whereas if you have, you know, like a disadvantage because of your physique, like you're too short or your tennis just isn't, you know, like good enough at the end of the day. Like some players, it's just, you know, not quite good enough. And that sucks, but that's just the reality. But he has those things. It's just the mental that's lacking.
Yeah. I think he's a good player. I mean, we give him a lot of shit for everything, especially so they easy to make fun of like a second serve, but he's a good player and he'll get there. I think he will win. He's already won some big titles, so that's not even like the case. It's more just like that slam is really what people look for on the record sometimes, you know. Well, that concludes at least the American hard court for this year, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's any more tournaments in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So now we head off to the, I guess the abbreviated clay season now.
To the dirt.
Mm-hmm. To the dirt. And a lot of players have already gotten started. I mean, it's funny because we are a little behind in the sense that Rome is already almost done, I think. I think it's only
More
days.
So the schedule is New York finished on Sunday. And Rome started. Rome, which is normally like 3 months before New York, started the day after the U.S. Open final.
Right.
Which means Team and Zverev both cannot play in the tournament because they wouldn't make it in time. But we do have Rafa coming back. We have Novak back. And pretty much all the big players you'd expect. Maybe the Russians aren't in there. Is Medvedev in there?
No, so Medvedev also withdrew before the tournament started. I'm not sure because he was obviously in the semis, but maybe he wanted the rest. I'm not sure.
Maybe he wanted to see Mother Russia.
Yeah, maybe he wanted to go home.
Mother Russia. He would.
Have a babushka.
Babushka, Mother Russia. the one seed for this tournament, Novak at one, Rafa two, Stefanos three, more on him later. Who was four in this thing? I'm trying to go through. Matteo Berrettini four. He's looking good this week. Okay, and after that, you know, usual suspects.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start with this one?
Well, I do want to mention before that, although this is probably the first big tournament after the U.S. Open, technically, Kitzbühel was during the U.S. Open. That first, that last week of the U.S. Open was when they ran the Austrian Open, I guess is what they call it. Mm-hmm. And I will, although nothing too particular about it, the only things I do want to note is that I do think there are a couple players that did go deep in that tournament here at Rome. I think they might have gone through qualifiers as well. Let me see if I can find it. But I think they, some of them are I guess Yannick? I want to say that's how his first name is pronounced. Yannick Sinner?
I think it's Yannick Sinner.
Yeah, so he played there, although he did have a pretty disappointing match over there in Austria. But I think one player to highlight right now is
not, is it the Italian?
Not him. He actually didn't play there. Actually, you know what? It's funny because I was gonna say the German Kopfer.
Oh yeah, he's deep in this tournament too.
Yeah, but it's funny because he actually got knocked out first in the qualifiers at Austria. What so it's kind of strange to see how well he's done so far, at least in this tournament.
Tennis is so topsy turvy.
Yeah. So I think as far as that, actually, you know what? I think that's about it. I thought there'd be more to mention, but that's pretty much all the people that are here, I think, from that tournament. Because everyone else played the US Open. So
yeah. I think there's like a couple big stories in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's the most unexpected is my guy. He's not really my guy, but I like his name, so I'm gonna call him my guy. My guy Lorenzo Musetti. Straight from Italia.
Yeah, Italians rise up, man. Him and Sinner. Even Berrettini's playing well.
Yeah, because Yannick Sinner also had a big first round, or I guess second round win.
Yeah.
I think we should just kind of go through these interesting, we'll just go through round by round and talk about the interesting matches so far.
Sure.
So, I mean, Marco Cecchinato, who I don't know the last time he's even won a match. He's notorious, I guess, for beating Novak in the French Open 2018 in the quarterfinal, which made him a semifinalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that tournament are his only Grand Slam match wins.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
wow, it's interesting, but not that
it's good, but it's not good.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like, oh, great, but that's not what people strive for.
He's been playing challenger tournaments and all the tour level events he's played. I think this year, he's lost all his tour level matches except one against Leonardo Meyer in Auckland. Wow. That was January 13th or 14th. Right. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
He beat Kyle Edmund, who is not a good clay courter, but it's good to see Cecchinato winning a match again.
Yeah,
it kind of sucks to see someone who does so good at one tournament, and then kind of like Jack Sock. It kind of sucks that you don't really see Jack Sock anymore.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, a lot of Italians in this. I think, is it the same thing for the slams where they pick the qualifiers? I mean, a lot of home bias here.
The wild cards. Look at this.
Oh, the wild cards. Excuse me.
Look at these wild cards. I'll start from the bottom here. So, Yannick Sinner is a wild card.
Ah, I see.
Italian. Gianluca Magger, who is also Italian, is a wild card. Stefano Travaglia, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And then another Italian, Salvatore Caruso. Yeah, I think in the second round of the tournament, there are like eight Italians that made it that deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ATP Instagram is like, wow. Eight Italians into the second round. That's never happened before. But like, bro, I'm like, there's like eight Italians in this draw, which never happens ever anyway. to begin with, like, the wild card system is kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, of course they want to see all the Italians here, but anyways, I think Jannik Sinner and, of course, in a sense, the headline of the tournament, Musetti, those guys are bringing some quality tennis from Italy to this tournament, I think, right, so far at least.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, Musetti's had two upsets in a row.
Right, against pretty big names, I would say.
Yeah, he beat Stan in the first round.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Stan hasn't played in, what, 6-7 months since mm-hmm. Australia? So yes,
so it was hard
I'll
to tell
him
where
the,
he
the benefit of the doubt for that one. But then right after beating Stan, he beats Kei Nishikori, who also hasn't played in months. But still, these are like perennial top 20, top 10 players. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's 18 or 19.
Yeah, I think he's 18. I mean, if we even look at the resume for Borinka, obviously Roland Garros champion. Arguably though, like we've talked about this before, that although Borinka's had very big wins and can always take it to those top players, he also has really bad lows sometimes as well.
He's very hot and cold.
Mm-hmm. So I will also give him the benefit of the doubt that he probably just hasn't played too much competitive tennis recently. Mm-hmm. But Nishikori actually played at Austrian, so he's had a little bit of practice. I mean, coming off of having COVID.
I forgot about that.
So, yeah. He had a disappointing exit, though, at Austria. I think he made it to I think he actually got knocked out round one.
Oh, wow.
And he's also coming off of having COVID, so I'm not sure if that's still affecting him at all. But, I mean, he got straight-setted by Lorenzo here. And so, I don't know. Lorenzo ends up playing another qualifier, I think, Kopfer, the German we were just mentioning, tomorrow. So, maybe one of the easier ones, actually, out of the three matches that's going to be playing.
Yeah, that one will be interesting for sure because, I mean, Dominic Kopfer has had a great tournament, too. He's knocked out two players that are, again, I mean, perennial top 20, top 10.
Yeah, that's true.
Two rounds in a row. He's knocked out Alex de Minaur in the first round.
Yeah.
In a tight three-setter. I mean, the third set went to a tiebreak 7-5.
Yeah, so and all de Minaur had to do was serve out the match. And he didn't do it. Clearly, he didn't do
it.
Oh,
it was like 5-4 on his racket.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Yeah, Clay is not going to be a surface. That's
yeah, sure. It's going to be his worst, I'm sure. It's got to be his worst.
Which is funny. I guess it's because he hits so flat, which is why he's just more prone to errors. But you think someone with his game where, like, Clay kind of masks the fact that you don't have weapons, would you think it would benefit him? But he hits so flat, he probably sprays it.
Yeah, and plus, the speed isn't as important.
Short.
He is fairly short.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and then okay, so after Dominic beats Alex de Minaur, today he beats Gael Monfils,
mm-hmm.
who hasn't right. played in months as well, unless he played Vienna.
No, he did not play at Kitzbühel. No, this is the first time back. First time back as well.
Mm. Yeah, so. I don't know. I think it's just the Russ talking about, you know, like Stan and Kay and Gail, but a very weird tournament so far. Felix went out the first round too, but he lost to a pretty good clay quarter, Filip Krajinovic, who's also had a very good season this year so far.
Yeah. I mean, I'd argue it's just because with the switch to surface, I think a lot of people, especially the ones who played at the US Open, just didn't have time to practice. I mean, look at Jan Lennard Struff, first round out. Taylor Fritz, first round out. To Travaglia. Christian Garin.
These two players are not. He is, but I don't think the first two are clay quarters.
Yeah. Christian Garin actually went out first round against Chorich. in straight sets. Karen Khachanov lost in as well.
Who did he lose to?
To Ruud from Norway.
Being shocked at Carlos? That. Oh, Casper Ruud.
Casper Ruud from Norway.
Casper beat someone today too. Oh, it wasn't a good matchup though. But he's deep in the tournament now. He beat Lorenzo Sonego. Yeah. Okay. So not a big name, but I mean, he's into the round of 16 for this tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I guess those. I mean, still fairly big names to lose first round. I guess. I mean, usually you can expect those guys to at least make it to like the second or third round, but. Yeah, I think, but besides that, not many upsets until the second round, which we continue
a huge upset second round. Yeah. It's very disappointing for me.
Well, I mean, one thing you want to talk about is, I believe Chapo is still in this tournament, right? He's made it past the first two rounds fairly easy.
He's looked good.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the upsets just start to pile up. I mean, Gauffin straight set it by Cilic, which doesn't sound too much like an upset, but I mean, you kind of expect Gauffin to win more than four total games in two sets, I think.
I didn't even notice that. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
They got to put highlights for all these matches on. Like, why am I not seeing Gauffin Cilic? You think that'd be one they'd put on the highlights?
Yeah, that's true. I think they've only highlighted certain matches in the highlights. So, I mean, I know Fognini lost as well to Umber.
Oh, yeah, he looked angry. Also, precursor, I have not watched much of the matches in Rome because of the timing and of the tournament. I think it's like 4 a.m. here when play starts.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I wake up at 8 and go walk over to my quarantine office five feet from the bed, and I work at 8 a.m., so, yeah. Anyway,
I mean, I don't think, unless you love seeing upsets, I mean, I can continue to list them up. I'm not even close to that. I feel like, well, Tsitsipas, obviously.
Yeah, that's the one that hurts. That's the one that hurts.
Rublev lost to Hurkacz, Herbert Hurkacz from Poland. Raonic actually lost to Dusan Leovic, which, you know.
That's fine. Raonic is not a clay player.
Not a clay court.
Dusan is.
Mm-hmm. So that one isn't as bad, I think. If you don't really pay attention to the ranking and more of like how they perform on clay.
You want to know which one is bad?
What is bad?
Which match was bad?
Okay, let me know. I'm curious of what you're gonna say. Like bad?
No, I'm more like painful for one side.
I'm not sure if you're going to say the Dimitrov match. Because
that is one of them. But
yeah, that was also terrible. But which one are you talking about?
6-0? Yeah, that was really... For Nishioka, who's like a guy who you would never expect to go out 1-0.
Yeah,
that was weird.
That's one bad. I mean, I don't know if you're going to say Nadal and Busta, maybe.
I'm talking about PCB and Nadal because this is so weird. Like, first off, why does PCB have a bye in the first round?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how it works.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't know, because the draw must have came out before he made it to the semis, right? So
yeah, but like usually they fill. Like, why isn't he playing anyone?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's so weird. But anyway, so he gets straight to the second round. Normally, you'd be like, damn, that's great. You know, I made some money. I'm into the second round. I don't have to play anyone big, hopefully. No, you get Rafa Nadal off of 7 months of rest. And and PCB, mind you, was a U.S. Open semifinalist and could have been a U.S. Open finalist.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days later, he loses in an hour and like 10 minutes, which is ridiculously fast for a Rafa match. When's the last time you've ever seen Rafa finish a match like in under an hour 30?
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's just not his style. But I mean, on clay, you never really know, man. Some people just can't keep up, honestly.
Yeah, Rafa showed him how to. He showed him where the bakery was with the double.
Yeah, he really did. He had all the breadsticks he wanted, an all-you-can-eat breadstick. Patton Oscars, if anyone gets that reference.
Lymphal.
You should look that one up. That's a throwback for sure.
Hey kids, bust out your Googles and look that one up.
Yeah, bust out the computers, because that notch is a relic of the past, as I'm sure what they call it now.
Yeah, that was brutal. I don't know what happened with that draw, but yeah, that was a beatdown if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, unfortunate, honestly. I'm sure Corina Busta wanted to ride on his high coming off of the U.S. Open semis, but unfortunately, I don't know. Someone at
that is not life.
Whoever drew the Rome draw really had it out for him, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so we're into the round three.
Round of 16.
Still a lot of tennis to go here, actually. It's not really close. It's only about halfway, a little bit under halfway. So still big names. I mean, not much to talk about, I think, for the two favorites. I mean, Djokovic and Nadal taking care of business as usual. I don't particularly see them having any trouble whatsoever at this point in time.
So So I did the draw this morning, but I don't have it on me at the moment. But who are your – should I go with quarterfinalists? Yeah, let's just – who are your quarterfinalists?
Okay. My quarterfinalists are
– we'll do it together. I'm going to start with the – and then I'll go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first one, I mean, Djokovic versus Krajinovic. I'm going to say Djokovic.
I'm going Djokovic too.
Yeah, no reason needed, really. I mean, Krajinovic is always a decent player. It's like a
little brother, big brother.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is probably still going to be like a beatdown, unfortunately, for Krajinovic. But
yeah.
I think the second round, I'm going to continue riding the Musetti train. I think he's going to go to the quarters. I think he should be able to beat
my guy, Dominic.
And he's been playing. I mean, he looks, I will say, he looks damn good, honestly. So far, he's just looked so confident out there, which is kind of you don't really expect from someone so young, but I'm excited to continue seeing more of him. And you know, if he does make it that far, he gets to probably play the biggest competitor he's ever played against so far in his career. So we'll see. But I have Musetti in the quarters as well. I'm going to take Berrettini. I don't know much about Travaglia, honestly. And Berrettini has looked a little bit better. I don't know too much about him on clay, really. So I'm not really sure how well he'll do moving forward. But he should be able to beat Travaglia in this round of three.
Yeah, I also have Berrettini. Travaglia is just one of those nomadic Italian tennis players who shows up for the European clay swing, and you see him maybe occasionally in the first round of another tournament throughout the year, and that's it. That's all you get.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Next is Casper versus Marin Cilic. Man, that's actually kind of a tough one.
That is a weirdly tough one. I'm still going Cilic, though.
I'm going to go Casper, I think.
Yeah, I think Casper has had the better season so far, actually. Yeah, I've seen him deeper in tournaments.
Yeah, I'm going to go Casper on this one. And next, you know, I'll go your boy. I do like Chapo. He's been playing much better.
My guy, that's my real guy.
So I'm going to go Chapo over Umber. Although Umber obviously beat Fognini in the previous round.
I don't like this matchup.
No?
Because the last time they played, Umber killed him, I believe. Did he? In Auckland, it was a 7-5, 6-4.
I mean,
I'm still going Chapo, but I don't know how I feel about it anymore.
I mean, Chapo's coming off a pretty hot, I would say a very a finish you can be proud of at the U.S. Open, you know, in the quarters. I like how he's playing. I really do. I really do like how he's playing so far.
Yeah, I still got Chapo. You're right. Mm-hmm. But that one, I think I do want to watch that match just because it's one I think that Chapo should win.
Right.
But the last time they played, he didn't, which is interesting because I mean, I think I was watching that match and I was just like, what the hell just happened here? Like, I was like, wait, I had this guy go into my final when I did the bracket. It was just like second round to Ugo and Bear. So, yeah, I think I'm going to watch that tomorrow. I think I'm going to start watching the matches more tomorrow, at least the ones I'm not sleeping through. But, right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's safe to pick Chapo here, but, you know, you don't have any
next match is a good one.
I got faith in your yeah. boy.
Hey. Thank you, man.
But yeah, nothing too surprising so far, I think.
No.
I'll take, man, actually, this next round
this is one's hard.
Yeah. I am going to go... Man, I think Sinner has been playing really well, though. I want to go Dimitrov, though, but I think I'm going to take Sinner. I think Dimitrov is still... His play has been lacking a little bit, and Sinner has just been really on the high. So I think Sinner is going to give Dimitrov some trouble tomorrow. So I think I'm going to take Sinner.
I just want to point out that the first round match between Yannick Sinner and Benoit Paire was Paire's best performance all year.
Really? What are you comparing it to? Like
in his acting performance and his angry performance. It was magnificent.
Okay.
It was pure anger. He threw the match completely at the end. He on match point, he stuck out his racket to return the serve. It somehow went in.
Uh-huh.
Yannick hit the ball and Pear was walking. After the ball passed him, he started running towards it for like half a second, and he was like, all right, I've done my duty here. I'm going to collect my first round prize money, and I am out.
Right.
It was really funny. It was just classic Benoit Paire. It was funny.
He's
so French. It's just funny.
He's so French.
He always pops his collar too. He's like wearing, you know, like a Lacoste polo or something, and the collar's always popped, so he looks like Count Dracula or some shit.
It's funny. He's not French at all.
Benoit Paire?
Oh, sorry. Not French. Benoit Paire. I thought you were talking about Fognini for some reason, but I see what you're saying.
No. Well, Fognini also threw in a shit show. Yeah, but
he threw his shit show.
He did it in a very. He always does it with his Italian flair. He gets angry real loud and all that. Yeah. But anyway, going back to this matchup here, I've got Sinner for sure because Dimitrov. I don't know how he managed to 6-1 6-0 Nishioka, but Dimitrov has not been. He's not really been good at all since coming back.
Yeah, he's. I don't know
what happened that match because I don't see in what world he should be 6-1 6-0-ing anyone.
Yeah, I think it's just honestly Dimitrov just being the better player. Like Nishioka is good, and I do like him, but his highs is always going to give him a problem as long as he's on the tour. And on clay is not going to help him at all, you know. So. I think it's surprising, but it's the outcome would have been the same, I think, regardless of what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the last two are pretty cut and dry, although Herkash did have a pretty big win.
I still got Schwartzman.
Yeah, I still have Schwartzman as well. And then, of course, no explanation needed for Nadal against Leovic. I mean, I would take Nadal over, honestly, anyone. He could play... Jesus himself, I think, in this round, I would take Nadal.
I would be shocked if anyone doesn't have a Nadal Djokovic final, especially at this point, you know, after seeing who's gone in, who's lost already and all that. Like,
yeah,
you'd be crazy to not have them go to the final.
Exactly. So, I mean, maybe this whole list that we've just made and is for nothing, really, at the end of the day, because I think we kind of know who's going to make it to the end.
Yeah, I don't think any of it really matters besides Novak and Rafa. I honestly, in Rafa's half of the draw that's still left, literally no one is going to challenge him. I don't see anyone that's going to challenge him. And Novak's might be even easier, to be honest.
Yeah. I would love to see Lorenzo versus
Djokovic. Yeah, Musetti versus Novak. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I'm curious a little bit to see how that would look, because I will say I'm on the Musetti train right now.
He's got some swag. He's got some swag. You know, if you got a one-handed backhand, you got some swag.
True. And I wish there was a crowd now to see I'm sure like everyone would be rooting for him at Rome, you know.
Oh yeah. For sure.
I mean, I guess in a sense, the ATP villain of Djokovic, I'm sure Djokovic loves it, but also I'm sure Musetti would enjoy like having a home game against Djokovic in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of what's going on. I don't know if Roland Garros starts right away on the 22nd, does it? Or next week, do you know?
Let's see. Roland Garros schedule. Monday. Okay, so the first round is September 27th.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Oh, so it's not this coming weekend. I thought it was this coming weekend. It's the weekend after.
Yeah, because Rome still needs to finish up this weekend.
Okay, well that's better than I thought. I thought they were literally like, you know, go to Rome, play the final, next day you're in the French Open first round.
From the Italian Open to the French Open, just like that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
We will keep it updated. We won't be as behind from now on.
Yeah, at least try to get one in maybe when this ends.
When the final's over.
Yeah, I think it'll be actually a really good final, though, if it comes down to Djokovic Nadal. I mean, the level of like quality of tennis when those two play against each other, it's unparalleled, honestly. Like, it's
who just you crazy. Got?
I have Nadal. I mean, I almost don't even think it's right to bet against Nadal on clay. Like, of course he's lost before, you know, but I don't know, man. he has 8 Rome titles, I think, something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Yeah. He has 9 titles. Thanks. So he's going for the double digits here.
Decima.
Yeah, I just can't. I think as long as he stays in form, which it looks like he has been in his first match at least, it should be a close one maybe, but I think at the end of the day he should be the victor.
Funny, I always my heart tells me just pick Rafa, like that's your guy, because I used to be a huge Rafa fan too. Mm-hmm. But you know, the last couple years, and he wins about half of them still, especially on clay. He wins maybe like 60% of the matches between the two, but I always pick Novak now. I think Novak is just the safest bet in tennis, period. Like, even on clay, I still go Novak over Rafa. And I don't know if that's right. I don't think it's right, because I tend to be more wrong than right on that call.
Right.
But I just can't. I don't remember the last time I picked someone other than Novak to win a tournament that Novak is in.
I mean, I will say Novak has rained terror on Federer and Nadal's legacy a little bit. I mean, if Novak wasn't in the picture, those guys would have like 30 slams each, I think.
Yeah, well, for sure. But like, dude, I mean, I think he's going to be the GOAT at the end of the day. I don't want to say it because I love Rog, but I got to give the man his props, and I think he will be the GOAT.
I don't know. It's tough. I think everyone expects it, and whether you like it or not, you have to admit that Novak is. I mean, no one seems to be
dominant, dude.
Yeah, no one looks like they can stop him in a sense. So,
yeah, it's like the only people that can consistently stop him are like old or injured half the year. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yikes. I mean, we'll see, I guess, you know?
All right, so you got Rafa and I got Novak. That's perfect. So we got... We each got someone to root for, but really yeah. I'm rooting for Rafa. But yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're rooting for Rafa.
That's my guy. Those big forehands.
Yeah. I do like those.
All right. Well, we'll do another pod on, what is it, Sunday night, Saturday night? One of the two, whenever the final's done.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
All right, mate.
We will beat you guys. Eddie.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. What do they say? How do they say it in Italian?
What's that?
How do they say it in Italian?
That is it, isn't it?
Is that Arrivederci?
Arrivederci. I think so.
Arrivederci.
Although, it's always been butchered in Inglourious Basterds. Remember when
Buongiorno. Buongiorno.
That's a classic for sure.
All right. Peace. We are.